Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast. In podcast 757, mercifully, the end, the final in a series of podcasts outlining the House toss-up races for the United States House of Representatives in election 2018. Important because the storyline is that President Donald Trump will lose the majority in the House of Representatives and more than likely the Senate in 2018. Is this true? Are these toss-up races going to flip? These are all questions that this series seeks to not necessarily answer, but give you some background so that you know what to look for on Election Day. So we've done almost all of them, and we're going to finish up in this podcast, podcast 757. So I have been talking about what happens if you get injured, whether you're having fun or whether you are at work, and I want to focus on what happens at work if you get injured. So, when we think about somebody being injured, we think about blue-collar workers, right? But we don't think about somebody who's a salesperson or somebody who handles security or something to that effect. So what happens is when you are hurt at work, you may not get the benefits, the full benefits that you're supposed to get. And you want to get your life back. You want to get back to work as quickly as possible. A lot of times people will do anything to get back to work, right? And I'm just going to say, it pays to have somebody who knows what they're doing handle the insurance and workers' comp claims rather than do it yourself. And it might be a good idea for you to have this number on file in case somebody you love or yourself is injured at work. And the name is John D. Scott of Hoffman, Hamer & Associates. John is a great personal injury lawyer. I've gotten to know him. He is very meticulous. Now, a lot of times, I'm just going to say this quick, people would say, I want a bulldog. I want somebody that's going to take somebody to court. That is not what works with this stuff. You want somebody who can reason, who is able to get meticulous and get down deep into details, because the battle is won on details. Here is John Scott's number, 612-963-4629, 612-963-4629. It's true. An accident usually comes without warning. That is why they call it an accident, whether you're at work or whether you're at play. In fact, it's probably a good idea to just go ahead and bookmark John D. Scott's website. He is at Hoffman, Hamer & Associates. His number, once again, is 612-963-4629. That's 612-963-4629. Or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. You can always bookmark this page, jdsinjurylaw.com, or click on that banner at the top of the page. Go there, click on it, bookmark it, because you're going to need it someday, and you're going to say, I need a lawyer because I got hurt at work and they're not taking care of me, right? There's a contact page on there for you to share the details of your problem with John D. Scott, personal injury attorney at Hoffman, Hamer & Associates. You can check him out by clicking the banner at the top of the page, the Bob Davis Podcast, or calling 612-963-4629, 612-963-4629. Well, Trump's at it again with China and tariffs, and China is responding. So if your company is manufacturing in China, you are starting to say, we should start bringing this stuff back to the United States, either doing it in-house or looking for a great manufacturer locally. And so I'm going to ask you to consider DepoStar, D-E-P-O-T, DepoStar American Design Engineering and Manufacturing. They're great. Visit their website at DepoStar.com. Now, so the next podcast I do, I'm going to actually summarize. I'm not going to do that in this podcast because I want to just get through as many of these as possible. Hopefully, this one will be mercifully shorter than the other ones. They've been running 35 to 40 or 45 minutes. I'm glad I'm doing it, though. And I think, first of all, I think it shows what podcasts can do, because we can do series. You know, you could never do this on the radio. This is impossible. This would be absolute death on the radio, because they would never take the risk to do this. And the thing is, people don't read today. And since podcasting, at least audio podcasting, is essentially the drumbeat of the written word, as the spoken word, you can sit and listen to this while you're going to sleep or whatever, and you will know the general contours of the House races, the Senate races that are toss-ups, and the governor's races that are toss-up. Now, today I saw a story that said, oh, well, now the governor's races, they're all going to go. They're the ones that are most vulnerable. You know, they're spinning these storylines like like crazy, whether it's the NPR people doing a, you know, just a breathless analysis that says there's going to be a big blue wave, to everything else. Now, in these podcasts, I don't say who's going to win, and I don't say that those are wrong. I say, here's what I know from doing research on this district. You will know what I know. It's all in one place, thebobdavispodcast.com. You can listen to them, and then when you watch on election night, you can say, looks like the people that said X are right, or looks like the people that said X are wrong, or vice versa. They are not partisan. They are not designed to grind the axe for a particular candidate or a cause. You know, I am so separated and so disgusted with partisanship, and everybody has to be on one side or the other. I just can't do it anymore. So this is what I do when I do political stuff, and I love doing it this way as opposed to the way where somebody says, "Oh, I'm going to make sure that everybody knows which way to vote. I'm going to tell you who's going to win these districts and why you shouldn't worry and everything else. If you want to worry, worry." I'm going to tell you what I know from doing the research about a particular district, all right? So let's start this podcast with Utah's 4th Congressional District. It is a new district created by the state legislature as the result of reapportionment by Congress after the 2010 census showed population increases in the state relative to other states. The new district is concentrated in Salt Lake County, and it includes a portion of Salt Lake County, which was divided among the four districts. It also includes parts of Utah County. I think this is not a misprint, but Juab County, J-U-A-B County, and San Pete County. Candidates first appeared on the 2012 ballot. Two-term incumbent Representative Mia Love, that everybody knows because of her speeches at the conventions, she says, "I can't afford to take anything for granted," as she faces a challenge from Salt Lake County Mayor Ben McAdams, according to the Salt Lake Tribune. Charlie Cook has this as an R13 Republican district. McAdams has been added to the Democratic Party's red to blue list, which doesn't necessarily mean anything, but it gets headlines. And there has been talk about polls showing McAdams' performance as mayor being above that of Love's performance rating as a congressman. And I don't know that that means anything. Or they'll say that her approval rating has fallen below 50%. I don't believe in approval ratings for congressmen, since most people don't even know who their congressman is. I don't think those kinds of data predicate a close race or even a toss-up or even tell a sitting congressman what they should be doing. Mia Love has raised $1.4 million, while McAdams has raised about $500,000. Love still has more than $500,000 on hand. McAdams, $460,000. Lots of polls, for some reason, all of them show Love in the lead and getting stronger. So because we have so many polls and she is 9 points ahead in the latest, I find it hard to call this a toss-up. I say that she probably, as I just said, I'm not going to tell you who's winning. I'm just saying you got a lot of polls that you can trend, and trending is what it's all about. It's not about three polls or two polls or one poll like a lot of these districts. They have pulled the hell out of this district, and she is doing quite well. Trump won this district by something like 6 points in 2016, so you know, it's Utah, and, you know, she's doing well. So I hesitate to call it, especially when it's an R-plus, something like 13 district. I just can't imagine somebody calling this a toss-up. Virginia's 5th District extends from just southwest of Richmond by Christiansburg and Cave Spring, just east, southeast of the mountains, north to loop around Madison Heights, all the way up northeast of Front Royal, back down west of Manassas in northern Virginia, all the way back down through Charlottesville, down along the southern border to include Danville, east, all the way to the Roanoke Rapids. You know, it's Virginia's largest congressional district with an area of 10,181.3 square miles, something like that. I don't know what that means. You know, those are the kinds of facts that, what does that mean? I don't know. It's largely a rural place. I spent a lot of time in Virginia. This is Western Virginia, Northwestern Virginia, and there are towns dotting that area, especially when you get close to Washington, D.C. Front Royal, though, is pretty far out. Manassas is probably closer. Manassas is more suburban. When I moved to Washington, Manassas was, it was almost as though Manassas was a farm town that you came to. And of course, this is the scene of two battles of the Civil War. So it's an interesting place, but Manassas is pretty far west of Washington, D.C. Incumbent Tom Garrett was first elected in 2016, but bowed out in Maine. By the way, the district goes all the way from Manassas down to Charlottesville and south to Richmond. So, you know, this is a massive district. And, you know, Charlottesville, while it is urban too and a university area and famous because of all the stuff that's happened, is it not exactly New York City? Let's just put it that way. So Tom Garrett, we're talking about him as the incumbent, bowing out in May. Garrett announced that he would not seek re-election in 2018 because of an alcohol problem. Now, this is a really interesting situation. Politico alleged his congressional staffers had been used to run errands for Garrett and his wife. Garrett denies these allegations, but then there's this whole new race in Virginia now because he bowed out because of, quote, an alcohol problem. And some think that this makes it a toss-up. So when you read about this, you know, you got to ask yourself, what are these people smoking? So listen to this. In 2018, former Air Force intelligence officer and craft beer brewery owner and Republican Denver Riggleman, his name is Denver Riggleman, is going to face former CBS News veteran producer, Princeton journalism professor, and Yale graduate and author Leslie Coburn. And it's spelled Cockburn, but I'm just going to say it's Coburn because of Bruce Coburn, the artist. Coburn has about $700,000 on hand to Riggleman's $200,000, which is about the total he's raised, while Coburn raised over $2 million. There is some untoward crap going on with this situation. Accusations of anti-Semitism toward Coburn in some mailers, drawing comparisons from Coburn's book to anti-Semitic chants in Charlottesville during the protests. On the other hand, Coburn's campaign ran censored screen captures from Riggleman's Instagram page, in which he superimposed his face on a picture of a quote-unquote naked Bigfoot. Remember, Bigfoot is hairy, right? So they're not, when you see pictures of Bigfoot, you don't see a naked person, but in any case, like an ape, it's naked, right? So his picture was superimposed on his Instagram page over this picture of Bigfoot striding through the forest. But Coburn said the pics prove that Riggleman's interest is more than just being funny, that it is in something called Bigfoot erotica. And I thought, well, this is just nuts. But in fact, there is something called Bigfoot erotica. Riggleman says the Instagram pic was part of a satirical book about the Bigfoot conspiracy theories he's writing, and his friends know that this is what he means. Sadly, the former incumbent beat his 2016 opponent in the general election by about 17 points. Trump won the district by 6 points in 2016, according to Daily Cause Analysis. Charlottesville's protests last year have to figure prominently in this district and in this race, although outside of the university crowd at Charlottesville, I don't know whether it would, you know, be wise to call this a true toss-up. It's a toss-up to me right now because it has been a clown show, and I guess the candidate who looks the most reasonable or the least wins this race. Yes, Bigfoot erotica is a big thing, apparently. I didn't want that in my head, but apparently it is now, and they can call this the Bigfoot erotica race. So watch for this in the Eastern time zone on election night. Once again, Trump won the district by 6 points, something like that. Watch election night and weep or laugh or what? That's a craziness. Virginia's 7th district is, this is David Bratt's district, and David Bratt will be taking on Abigail Spanberger, the Democrat, as well as Libertarian Joe Walton. Held since 1971 by Republicans, the DCCC is targeting this race, which means shazam! It's a toss-up, whether it is or isn't. Virginia's 7th runs south of Culpeper over to Fredericksburg and then south through the Richmond western suburbs all the way down to Brunswick. So the district spans much of central Virginia, including all of Orange, Culpeper, Goochland, Louisa, Nottoway, Amelia, and Powhatan counties. The district also includes large portions of Chesterfield and Henrico in the suburbs of Richmond. However, Richmond is not currently in the 7th. Spotsylvania also has a large portion of the 7th just outside of Fredericksburg. So you have to understand it is not the city of Richmond. So this is kind of a rural or a exurban part of Virginia. Chesterfield and Chester are suburbs of Virginia, but they are way south of the city. Prior to 2016, the 7th District stretched from the west end of Richmond and its suburbs in Henrico and portions of Chesterfield counties through Orange, Culpeper, and northward to Page and Rappahannock counties. In 1993, Virginia was forced to create a majority-minority district by a Justice Department directive. At that time, most of Richmond, which had been entirely in the old 3rd District over a century, was shifted to the newly created 3rd District. The remaining territory in the old 3rd combined with some more rural areas in the north to form the new 7th District. So it's a little hinky. Let's just put it that way. Prior to 1993, the 7th District stretched from the fringes of Washington, D.C. suburbs to Charlottesville. It included the far northern part of the Shenandoah Valley, as well as Manassas and Fredericksburg. So it's changed a lot. Now, I didn't mean to get into all this, go down this rabbit hole, but it's changed a lot, although the ground may not have, the district has. David Brett, famously defenestrated Virginia congressman and Washington mover and shaker Eric Cantor in 2014. Now Brett supposedly, and this is the writing of somebody who wrote a story about it, faces an uprising of sorts. They are saying he's facing an uprising of his own. Well, if you take the point of view of Democrats who think everyone hates Trump and they hate all Republicans, then maybe Brett is facing an uprising of his own, but maybe not. When you consider this district as much as Democrats would hope, this is not a real liberal district. If you'll pardon the use of the term. Spangenberger, or whatever her name is, and I don't mean to be, I guess it's Spanberger or Spangenberger. I actually know somebody named Spangenberger, so I get confused with these names. And then I'm super, self-conscious about mispronouncing them. So I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing her name. She has served as a federal law enforcement officer for the post office and as an operations officer for the CIA. I will just tell you, she is impressive. Candidates raised $1.3 million. Spangenberger has about $450,000 left. Brett has about $930,000 as of June. Joe Walton, the Libertarian, has raised about $5,000 and has about $1,000 on hand. Americans for Prosperity and the Congressional Leadership Fund are spending in this race as well. So the Congressional Leadership Fund, I think, is Democrat. Americans for Prosperity is, of course, the Koch brothers and Republican. Some say the race tilts Republicans. Others say it's a toss-up. Brett won in 2016 by 23 points. Trump won the district in 2016 by 5 points. I'd say it leans Republican, despite some strong campaign spots and messages for Spangenberg. And I will say it again. I think she's an impressive candidate. So sometimes they're not. I think as a challenger, she's pretty impressive. And we don't know what the effect of a Libertarian in the race is, except this Libertarian doesn't have any money. So, you're just going to have to watch this one on election night as well. I wouldn't call it a toss-up. It leans Republican, but it could flip. Washington State's 5th Congressional District encompasses the eastern Washington counties of Ferry, Stevens, Lincoln, Spokane, Whitman, Walla Walla, Columbia, Garfield, and it's centered on Spokane, the state's second largest city. Republican incumbent Kathy McMorris Rogers was first elected in 2004 and is the highest ranking woman in the U.S. Congress, according to her bio. What about Nancy Pelosi? She is the minority leader. I guess if you're the majority party, she sits on some high committee. Oh, yeah, she's on the Energy Committee. And she is a hydropower advocate, which is very important in Washington State. She's going to be facing Washington State University Spokane Chancellor, former state legislator, state senator, and state Senate Majority Leader Lisa Brown in November. McMorris Rogers has raised about $3 million, while Brown has raised $2.3 million. Each has roughly $1 million on hand. McMorris Rogers won her 2016 election by nearly 19 points. Trump won the district by nearly 12 points in 2016. Almost all the analysts have this as a lean Republican race. Some say it's a toss-up. I don't know how they say that when you look at these margins, other than the fact that the Democrat candidate is pretty impressive as well. Let's continue in Washington. Let's talk about Washington's 8th Congressional District. It includes the eastern portions of King and Pierce counties and crosses the Cascade Mountains to include some of these other counties, which are unpronounceable, so I won't bother to do that. But it's basically the western part of the Cascade Mountains. The population centers on the west side of the mountains, including the exurban communities of Sammamish, Issaquah, and Auburn on the east side. The eighth population centers are rural communities, Wenatchee, Leavenworth, and Ellensburg. So all the talk about Washington's 8th District is because former King County Sheriff and Republican incumbent the last few years, Dave Reichert, is retiring. There was a bruising fight in the primaries between Washington political regular and state legislator Dino Rossi, which Rossi won. Now, you're probably, even if you live in Wisconsin, you're probably familiar with the name Rossi. This is a guy who, maybe it's the name, but he's well known in Washington. He's going to battle Democrat pediatrician Kim Schreier in November. Rossi's raised over $3 million to Schreier's $2.5 million, and Rossi has $1.7 million on hand to Schreier's $650,000 or so. Hillary Clinton narrowly won this district in 2016. The DCCC and special interest groups are supporting both candidates. The Congressional Leadership Fund is running some negative ads, and so is the DCCC, at least on the Democrat side. Most analysts say it's a toss-up. Others who believe in a Democrat wave said that if that happens, Republicans will get swamped in Washington's 8th District. Let's go ahead and call it a toss-up, because Dino Rossi, I think he's a state legislator. He's a colorful figure, so let's just leave it, and we'll call that a toss-up. I have a question for you. Do you drink the tap water in your town? I don't. First of all, it's the taste. Second of all, I used to have a percolator, and I used tap water, and the thing got so clogged with crap, it was so disgusting, I just threw it away. You know, that's what you get with tap water. And then you have this issue with possible pollution from decades ago, toxins that are odorless, tasteless, and colorless. And so I spend a lot of money, too much money, on bottled water. I buy two or three cases at a time. I've talked about it. It's driving me crazy, and there is a solution, and that is my friend Joe Berg at The Water Butler. A friend of mine was telling me the other day, and it was Joe, that he can make my tap water more pure and better tasting than bottled water. And I said, really? Where do I sign up? And guess what? It's affordable. First of all, check out MasterPlumberMN.com. MasterPlumberMN.com. These guys can set you up with a water purification system that will end your dependence on bottled water forever. They can put it in the basement, which covers all the water in the house, which is full on. They can put it under the sink in an apartment or a duplex so that you just can get fresh water out of the sink tap. 763-286-8328. It's affordable, and you'll save so much money on bottled water, you won't even think about it. If you live in St. Louis Park, Rogers, Maple Grove, Edina, Plymouth, or Minnetonka, or if you're worried about the tap water in your town, call Water Butler. 763-286-8328. 763-286-8328. Ask for Joe Berg, and remember the Water Butler. 68 years of experience with plumbing, so they're not going to screw up the plumbing. They have 30 years of experience with water filtration systems. 763-286-8328. 763-286-8328, or click on the banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. That takes you to masterplumbermn.com, which is Water Butler's website. End your dependence on bottled water forever today. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, and we have much more to go in this podcast, some more districts, but I do want to thank the people that subscribe off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. The streaming is fixed, it's up and running, and it sounds great, so you can listen to the podcast right off the page. You can choose a specific podcast and click on it and listen to it right off the page. You can subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher.com if you have an Android device, Google Play, and in addition, I am on the Google Podcast as well, or TuneIn. And I appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter, and for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Now, for my Minnesota listeners, we're going to go to Wisconsin. So us Minnesotans know all about Wisconsin and because of Green Bay, right? According to Wikipedia, Wisconsin's first district is a congressional district of the United States House of Representatives in southeastern Wisconsin, covering Kenosha County, Racine County, and most of Walworth County, as well as portions of Rock County, Waukesha County, and Milwaukee County. The district's current congressman is Speaker Paul Ryan. As you know, he is not seeking re-election in 2018, so it is an open seat. The core of the toss-up classification for this district, a high population of working-class whites in manufacturing jobs supported Donald Trump in 2016 in Wisconsin's first. Here we have another one of these industrial districts that flipped or voted for Donald Trump. According to the Daily Cause, the district voted for Donald Trump by 10 points in 2016. This has been by the way, that's another table from the Daily Cause that doesn't include all that stuff that I talked about in the previous podcast. This has been a Republican seat since 1995, with Ryan serving since 1999. Republican Brian Steele, endorsed by Ryan, is running on the Republican side against Randy Bryce, whom much has been made of nationally since he announced his candidacy several months ago. I watched his commercials then, and I'm just going to tell you, and maybe I'm completely off base, and I'm not trying to tell you who's going to win or anything else. It is a, you know, Republican. I mean, it is a working class district. I'm not very impressed with Randy Bryce. He was touted very early on as one of these Democrat candidates who was going to just do great. There are a lot better Democrat candidates rather than Randy Bryce. So when you look at you look at people like Beto O'Rourke, you look at people like some of the Democrats I've mentioned in these podcasts who are challenging Republicans, and there are a lot better candidates than Randy Bryce. So I'm just saying, I wasn't impressed, but he has been touted because he worked very hard and became known and politicized due to health care, and he actively opposed Governor Walker's Act 10 legislation in the state. Act 10 was the legislation that basically drove a stake into the public workers unions in the state, and in this state, where public workers unions, starting with teachers unions, started. So prior to Wisconsin's teachers unions, states' workers were generally not unionized. So Wisconsin is one of the first states. So this is a huge issue for Democrats in the state of Wisconsin. My understanding, and I'm free to be wrong about this, but my understanding is Act 10, this was the raft of legislation that didn't get rid of the public workers unions, but it vastly curtailed their power. And you can just look it up if you want to know more about it. I've done a number of podcasts about it. I interviewed Governor Walker and interviewed people in the state about it. So if you pay attention to municipal government in Wisconsin, the general feeling is that Act 10 allowed municipalities to get control of their budgets, which is a big thing for cities and towns in the state. As far as the rest of the state and the rest of the state going to hell in a handbasket and everything else, I've been driving through Wisconsin back and forth for many, many, many years, and I don't really notice that much of a difference between pre-Act 10 and post-Act 10, but I don't live there, so I'll just point that out. This is a lean Republican race or a toss-up, depending on your point of view. And I hate to quote the New York Times Siena College live poll, which, as you know, calls only registered voters. It is not a random sample. But this one shows Steele, S-T-E-I-L, at a 50% rating and Bryce at 45%. So I don't know how that happens. 50 to 45. So Steele is a 5-point advantage. I would say this leans Republican. And I have watched three times I've watched Scott Walker surprise people in Wisconsin when they have said that he is down, he's not going to win, from his very first election to the recall and his reelection. He is a surprise. He may have a tough time. He's one of those governor's races which is considered a toss-up right now, but I still think the state in general leans Republican, and especially after Act 10, and I definitely think these districts lean Republican. So we'll see what happens. Let's go to West Virginia's 3rd district. So West Virginia is interesting because West Virginia is another one of those states that Democrats don't act like Democrats. They tend to run on issues like working together, health care, and they usually are Second Amendment supporters. And in West Virginia, this is a place where you're going to see those kinds of candidates. Texas, West Virginia, Virginia. and out west, where you know, Democrats and Republicans are kind of hard to tell apart. I think that's kind of interesting. So where is the 3rd District in West Virginia? It is located in the southern part of the state. It is based in the state's second largest city, Huntington, and includes Bluefield, Princeton, and Beckley. So where's Huntington? Huntington is right on the Pennsylvania border. So when I worked in Pittsburgh, we had people that worked in, that lived in Huntington and would drive into Pittsburgh to work there. The district has a long, I'm not saying everybody does that, don't take me wrong. I just remember I had a guy who drove in from Huntington every weekend because it was the closest. So it's right there. Beckley is, I love the name Beckley, and I don't know why. The district has a long history of coal mining, especially in southwestern counties, forestry, and farming. West Virginia's 3rd District seat is currently vacant as the former Representative Evan Jenkins resigned to become a West Virginia State Supreme Court Justice. He resigned rather quickly. It has leaned Republican in the last few years. Speculation is, since this district has lost the most population in West Virginia in the last few years, necessary redistricting has included more areas that are Republican. State Senator and career Army officer Richard Ojeda, and state delegate and daughter of a congressman, real estate professional, and farm owner Carol Miller are running in 2018. Donald Trump has a nearly 50-point advantage to win this district in 2016. I'm not sure that that is right. I'm pretty sure that that's that I used the other chart for that one, not the one that had state assemblies. So that's amazing if it's true. Ojeda is different in the sense that he says he voted for Trump. He's a Democrat who said he voted for Trump. And Miller says that she's pro-life, pro-jobs, pro-coal, pro-Second Amendment, and pro-Trump. So that's West Virginia. The New York Times live poll, the only one done in this district, and it was done just recently in the second week of September, shows Miller with a 5-point lead. So I'm reading this very slowly because I want to make sure I get these numbers right, because I hate it when I screw things up. Cook's Political Index said that this is an R23 district, so there you go. Even if Trump didn't lead by 50 points, a 50-point advantage in that district, it's still an R23 district, which is pretty... That's pretty Republican, right? Both candidates have raised about the same amount of money and have $150,000 on hand each. I would say this district leans Republican, although the lines are blurred because Democrats in West Virginia, as I said, aren't exactly Bernie Sanders type, Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx type Democrats. Ojeda, for his part, is pushing looking after miners and their families and his family's heritage as coal miners. Very quickly about West Virginia, just look at Joe Manchin. Manchin has a lot of experience working with miners, going back to when he was a union executive, I think, at one point, or an attorney, and is probably the most conservative Democrat in the Senate, and has often talked about flipping over to the Republican Party. So that's what you're dealing with in West Virginia. It's kind of like Texas in that respect. You've got these very Republican districts, but at the same time, West Virginia has been Democrat over the years because of unions and, you know, and because it's kind of in the South. It's a very interesting state, very diverse and bizarre, state of West Virginia. And I love it. I love West Virginia. By the way, there has been a boatload of printing. I would say something else, but I don't want to lose my, you know, family rating. But a boatload of printing for these podcasts, and I have to say thanks to Cartridge World because they are powering this. Why? I hate my printer, and I hate it because those print cartridges for laser printers are so friggin' expensive, and I hate those big box office supply retailers. Would you like to join our special program? No, I'd like you to sell a print cartridge to me for something less than $140. That's what I'd like. And guess what? Then I found Cartridge World. So stick it, big box office retailers. Cartridge World in Maple Grove can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores. And they love you if you are their customer. They're great at customer service. Cartridge World cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new. Free delivery on qualifying orders. Cartridge World in Maple Grove off of Weaver Lake Road between Dairy Queen and Subway. Call and ask for Jason, 763-420-6632. He will hook you up, or you can click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Okay, thanks for listening to podcast 757. So the next podcast, I will do the analysis mercifully for myself. I am done. I'm a horse, but I'm so glad that I was able to do this because I learned so much. And thanks for listening. Thank you to Margaret Martin for listening to all these three times. I got to give you a shout out. Appreciate the subscriptions and everything else to BobDavisPodcast.com.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home.